Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the creator of the Liberty Conspiracy, which you can watch or hear every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Rumble and Rockfin and on my Twitter, which is at Gard Goldsmith. Thanks so much for tuning in as we get to explore issues from Liberty Conspiracy Live. And, of course, I welcome you to contact me over on Twitter. It's amazing how none of these big oligarchical, conceit, arrogant, fueled people recognize that we may live in a world of so-called limited resources, according to their view, limited natural resources. But the ultimate resource is the human mind. And so they adopt a Paul Ehrlich, Thomas Malthus, limited resources, planned austerity for everybody's good, eugenics, population control, life control, mindset. This is their worldview. While the Malthusians and the eugenicists and the Planned Parenthood people and the people who want to try to stifle your ability to control your life and who want to micromanage your life with centrally planned authority, whether it's about your money or it's about your trade or it's about your self-defense, whatever it might be, you can't be an independent thinker. That independent thought is the ultimate resource. As I mentioned, if you look at Warren Brooks, he has a book called The Economy in Mind. You look at Julian Simon, who had a bet against Paul Ehrlich. They took a basket of goods and they said, in X number of years, will this basket of goods be more plentiful or will it be in shorter supply and higher price? And Julian Simon, the author of the books, The Ultimate Resource, was a free market economist, The Ultimate Resource 1 and The Ultimate Resource 2, Julian Simon won the bet. 20 years later, those resources were more plentiful, they were less expensive, and people's lives were better, even as the population increased, contrary to what Paul Ehrlich predicted. Paul Ehrlich, really the 20th century's holder of the Malthusian idea, sort of the neo-Malthusian idea that if everybody got what they wanted, if people weren't controlled, if population wasn't controlled, then people would end up in war and famine and in terrible living standards. But what they didn't realize was that by allowing people, and this is the economic lesson, by allowing people to be able to be free, not only can they discover new ways to help other people, but one of the key things is by not taxing and not regulating, so-called regulating their lives, they have more usable capital left over that is leverageable to then start applying to new ways to live, to new ways to help people. So when the government siphons off all of that income, the economic lesson coming out of this is that you're actually retarding the ability of the human mind to discover new ways to better people's lives and then to test that on the market. In every way, these people stand against human progress. They don't stand for human progress. The neo-Malthusians, the eugenicists, the Planned Parenthood people, the climate canard fascists, they all push for this sort of austerity in our lives. And by saying that we have to live in more austere circumstances, by taking our money away from us, they're taking away the opportunity for humanity to become even more fruitful, more plentiful, and live better lives. They're creating the very circumstances that they're telling us are to be ours. They are imposing them on us. It's really amazing. So if you get a chance, I ordered the book today, Controligarchs. I think it's going to be fantastic, and I really enjoyed that conversation on David's show. It was phenomenal. Now, let's head over and find out a little bit about getting on a train, one and all. Let's hear from... Psychedelic Furs Live. This is from the House of Blues in Los Angeles, 2001. Richard Butler. Man, they rock live. They're so good. If you thought they were just the ghost in you,
no kind of love.
Or the poppier version of Pretty in Pink, then check out their first two albums. That's John Ashton there. John Ashton is... That guy, by the way, Richard Fortus, produced the Psychedelic Furs most recent record. He has played live for Guns N' Roses for many, many years. And he's just an amazing guitarist. He's also a long-distance runner. And I think it's time for us to check out Aaron Mate's latest. This comes to us from the Gray Zone's YouTube channel. You may remember that empty seat. What happened right before that empty seat? Chris Koontz told Aaron Mate that if he didn't stop asking him questions about the United States supplying weapons to Israel, the United States not speaking up, the United States government forcing us to pay for those weapons to go and kill thousands of innocent people, then Mr. Koontz was going to get Aaron Mate thrown off the train if he didn't stop asking him questions, not on a silent Scamtrak car, but on a quiet Scamtrak car. Here is what happened.
Why not at least call for a ceasefire?
Now, do remember, everybody, that Mr. Koontz there said that he is all in favor. He is absolutely dedicated to giving to humanitarian causes. Those humanitarian causes, I guess he must get confused between armaments, arms and ammunition, and criminal threatening against us who are being forced to pay for it, and actual humanitarian causes, which are done peacefully and through voluntary action. He doesn't seem to grasp it. He also doesn't seem to grasp the fact that he swore an oath to the U.S. Constitution and is urinating all over it. But that hypocrisy... being what it is, Aaron Mate stood tall. Now, let me just give you a quick idea. Aaron Mate was depicted by the New York Post, which, of course, has a very sizable Jewish readership and has been very in favor of Israel doing whatever it so-called needs to do to ferret out the Hamas terrorists, you know, the ones that the government of Israel and the government of the United States supported to run the political offices of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, even as the Israelis continued to use their opposition to negotiation as a way to engage in aggression and further encroach into Gaza. Mr. Koontz seems not to want to discuss any of that stuff and wants to say he's all in favor of humanitarianism. Well, the New York Post got word about this. Maybe they saw Aaron Mate post the video of him asking questions of this bloodthirsty maniac. And the New York Post said that Aaron Mate had accosted this man. Now, if you saw the video, and we showed it all last night, I can show a portion of it today, you'll see that Aaron Mate simply asked very quiet questions. They were sitting across from each other. That was all he did. It wasn't silent. And this man who has earned his living, so-called earned, has derived his livelihood, I'll say, off of people like Aaron Maté's back. He had the gall to say, I'm going to get you thrown off this train.
Breaking the basic rules of how we operate on Amtrak.
Okay, and the question
please
is,
stop.
And I believe we're breaking international law.
And, of course,
law.
The basic rules of, as Aaron Maté says, international law, the basic rules of the Geneva Accords, the basic rules of the U.S. Constitution seem to go over this guy's head.
Okay. By supporting
that's for your opinion.
Yes.
You've had a lot of my time. Please move on.
Why not?
You've had a lot of my time. Anybody see the time code here? Yeah, let me just bring the whole thing up there. 2 minutes and 49 seconds. You've had a lot of my time. Gee, that is something, huh? It sure is good. I wonder if he were, as I mentioned, a lobbyist for the Israeli lobby, where this guy between 2015 and 2020 got almost $90,000 from Israeli lobbyists or from, defense contractors. I wonder if Aaron Maté, if he worked for any of them, because, of course, Aaron Maté is Jewish. I wonder if he could get more time with Chris Kuntz. I wonder if he could sit next to Chris Kuntz and they could have a nice, fine conversation on Scamtrak, that unconstitutional boondoggle. Here's what happened, everybody.
Not at least call for a ceasefire.
By the way, again.
So after I questioned Senator Chris Coons about his support for Israeli mass killings, the Palestinians in Gaza, I've been taken off of the train and now being questioned by police.
The conductor's asked us to take you off the train. There's nothing else we can do.
They had me move seats until I agreed.
I
have my change. What happened was, I sat at
the
train go by so I can hear you.
I don't want to be rude and not hear you.
So what happened was, I sat across.
Let the train go by so I can hear you. I don't want
you
to have to repeat yourself in order to
come to
me.
I got it. I sat across from a U.S. senator, Chris Coons. We were in the quiet car. We're not supposed to talk. But I'm a journalist, and there's a massacre going on now in Gaza, and I thought it was important to ask him why he's not supporting calls for a ceasefire. So we had an exchange. I filmed the exchange. He got up and left. He came back and asked that I be moved. The Amtrak staffer came over, asked me to move, and I complied. And I went and sat in a different seat, as they asked me to do. And now apparently they've asked for me to do a move from the train. So here we are.
So all we got was from the conductor, one of you removed from the train.
Okay.
So the conductor's in charge of the train,
right.
Front to back, side to side, top to bottom.
Yeah.
If he asks, hey, we want this gentleman removed, I go get a station manager. Hey, is there something we can work on?
I understand. And this is a senator, and he has power, so he probably...
I can't answer that. Senator asked, I didn't even know what senator it was.
It was Senator Chris Coons, and he threatened to have me thrown off, and I'm not surprised.
I can't answer that because that's not what we
understand. Want.
So I've just been removed from an Amtrak train going to Washington, D.C., after I questioned Democratic Senator Chris Coons about his support for the Israeli mass murder campaign in Gaza and his refusal to call for a ceasefire. After I questioned him, he left his seat, then he came back, and then he asked that I be removed. And so a Amtrak staffer came over and told me to change seats or else I'd be thrown off the train. And in Senator Coons' defense, this was the quiet car, and so I did violate the norms of the quiet car by questioning him about his stance. But I felt this was important because we're talking about a massacre in Gaza, and I felt okay violating the norms of the quiet car, given that I believe we're violating international law by supporting the murder of so many innocents inside Gaza. So after he made that request, I did move my seat. I complied, and I sat somewhere else. And the train continued along. But then a while later, he walked by me. We did not exchange words. I was respecting the sanctity of the quiet car and his request that I no longer question him. But shortly after that, the train stopped in Philadelphia, and all of a sudden I was taken off the train by police and told that I had been thrown off by the conductor. I'm assuming at the request of Senator Coons. So, Senator Coons, if it makes you feel better to have me removed from a train because I bothered you, I understand it's not pleasant to be questioned, especially not to be questioned about supporting the mass murder of civilians. But what I hope you will still address is why you are supporting this mass murder, why you won't call for a ceasefire along with some of your Democratic colleagues who are in the House. And I don't regret at all questioning you about that, even though it was in the quiet car, because right now, as inconvenienced as you were by my questions, there are over 2 million people in Gaza who are being massacred and displaced. And given that this is being done with U.S. weaponry, their rights need to be addressed, and these questions need to be answered.
Good job. Good job. You can go to the Gray Zone YouTube channel for that, everybody, and check it out. Let me make that a little bit bigger for you so you can see. I'll take myself off the screen. The Gray Zone, 316,000 subscribers. That is phenomenal. And, yeah, great work by Aaron Mate. What a gutsy guy. As this sort of thing happens, here is antiwar.com. Gaza doctors plead for help saving premature babies at Al-Shifa Hospital. At least three babies have died since incubators stopped working. But, you know, it's always good that the Israelis have control over the power and the water, you know. Doctors at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital are pleading for help as the medical facility has ceased functioning after its power failed over the weekend amid an Israeli siege. The medical staff has refused to evacuate the hospital due to fears that the approximately 700 patients they would leave behind will die. And that, again, is one of the incredibly callous things that we hear from some of these really, really outspoken people who say that Israel can just do anything they want there. I've actually heard some people say, well, they should evacuate those hospitals. They give them a day or 7 hours. I was like, are you kidding me? You got people who are critically injured. You've got women who are giving birth and you're going to start moving people. What are you talking about? It's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely insane. And again, the final nut of the whole thing is, we can all come up with our differing opinions, sometimes similar opinions about this sort of thing or whatever. But the fact is, there is a moral core here. And the moral core is, regardless of somebody's opinion for or against something, no one should be forced to pay for something that he or she finds morally reprehensible. That's theft, first of all. Or coercion through threats of violence, which, of course, Elizabeth Warren will use against people if they want to get ammunition. She'll point government ammunition at them. Here's more from antiwar.com. Dave DeCamp was a guest today on the Ron Paul Liberty Report, by the way. It was a great conversation. And I've got a segment that I want to play for you tomorrow, a little appetite whetter for tomorrow, preview for tomorrow, about one of the great things that Ron Paul said. Really terrific stuff. Among the at-risk patients are newborn and premature babies who were taken off incubators due to the power outage. Dr. Ahmed Mukhalatlati, Al-Shifa's head of plastic surgery, told ABC News, and good for them to get this out there, that 3 out of 39 babies in the hospital's neonatal unit have died since the incubator stopped working on Saturday. Dr. Shireen Noman Abed, a neonatologist, said she expects all the babies to die due to a lack of clean water to mix formula with. Most of them are preterm babies who need incubators, who need electricity, who need special food, who need care, she said. We expect all to die because they don't have water to prepare formula for them. Where's Bill Gates? I thought he had that great thing where you could, you know, get potable drinking water in Africa from toilet sewage. Wasn't that all a big deal for Bill Gates? Why isn't he airlifting those things? Why isn't he getting that stuff in there? Rather than spending money on vaccination, so-called, that, you know, in the past has left lots of women in Africa sterile. How about that? Oh, maybe he doesn't really care that much about increasing the population or keeping people alive. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe he follows in the footsteps of his parents, who are intimately involved with Planned Parenthood. Big stuff from antiwar.com. Gaza doctors plead for help. And, of course, there have been four more attacks on the U.S. in Syria as the U.S. continues to sit on a third of Syria. So, one positive that's coming out of this, you might see from, of course, antiwar.com again. But the Washington Post has reported on this. Hamas says it's discussed freeing 70 hostages in exchange for a five-day truce. And it looks like that this ceasefire is coming. Netanyahu previously rejected it, as they say. And just to, of course, give you a sense of the way the Hamas people frame this, they say that a lot of the people that Israel, that the Israeli government was holding really were much like hostages. They were not being charged with anything. They had no evidence against them. And I know it sounds almost like something the George W. Bush administration or the Obama administration would do, or maybe Hillary Clinton might try to do, or what the British and the Americans are doing to Julian Assange. And, of course, that's the guy that Hillary Clinton says, can't we just drone this guy? But she's still invited on The View. When are they going to invite Julian Assange's wife? Or he might be held prisoner long enough that they could invite some of his kids to join them on The View. Let's hope the show doesn't last that long. We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, and I want to let you know that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% of attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol. And it's also available on multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. There is an online petition urging Senators Mitt Romney and Joe Manchin to form a bipartisan presidential ticket. The draft Romney-Manchin committee initiated the petition, emphasizing the need for leaders who can bridge political extremes. President Biden sat down with the President of Mexico Friday during a bilateral meeting in San Francisco.
Nothing is beyond our reach, in my view. I really mean it. When Mexico and the United States stand together and work together, as we've been doing.
Biden said the two nations are working together to tackle long-standing migration issues and combat the trafficking of fentanyl. Honda is recalling nearly 250,000 U.S. vehicles due to a risk of engine stall caused by bearing failure. The recall linked to a manufacturing error leading to connecting rod bearings wear and seize, potentially causing engines to run improperly or stall, increasing the risk of fire, crash, or injury. John Schaefer, USA News.
It seems like every day economic news gets more and more sketchy. We're already seeing huge volatility in the stock market and a rapid erosion in the value of the U.S. dollar. But this time, an economic downturn could happen faster than you ever imagined. Direct Bullion USA, America's number one precious metals company, wants to let you know that now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-GOLD and get your free gold investor kit today. Don't wait. Call Direct Bullion USA now at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold and silver survival kit. With all of the uncertainty of a world gone mad, you can take control of your financial future with one call to Direct Bullion USA. Call us now at 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.
I need to pay bills. When is my tax refund coming? I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
I need to set up a payment plan. How do I do that?
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
I need help with my taxes. Does the IRS offer free help?
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Need answers to your tax questions? Go to irs.gov.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
We return with Free Talk Live and Liberty Conspiracy. Now let's move on to other themes, everybody. I want to hear a little something from the courtrooms. So, we've got a lot to discuss, and it has been an absolutely bizarre episode so far, so things are a little bit whacked out. But here we go. Let me get the information to you. All right, one and all. Now, if you get the opportunity, check out this news story. And I was going to play blow-up song by Human Sexual Response, but I'm just going to go right to this. The AP is reporting that a judge has denied the initial request to temporarily block North Dakota's ban on kids' gender-affirming care, as they call it. Gender-affirming care, according to the Associated Press. Because, you know, if you're a writer for the Associated Press, they have their guidebook, and you can't call it mutilation. You can't call it psychic attacks. No, you can't do that. Here it is, Bismarck, North Dakota. A North Dakota judge has ruled that he won't immediately block the state's ban on gender-affirming so-called health care for minors. So let me ask you your opinion, everybody. Within the statist realm, and I think that there are answers to this that can be more readily divined by not looking at the state, but obviously people might have some different opinions here. But I thought, supposedly, the state was there to prevent people from harming other people. But, of course, that depends on how the state defines harm, which is now a collectivist decision. What is the definition of harm? Now, if one were to, say, safely feel or comfortably feel that the golden rule probably would win out most of the time, that Judeo-Christian ideas of physical harm, theft, extortion, coercion, the kinds of things that were verboten in common law without the state. But if one were to say, okay, we think those would probably be translated into the state the way John Locke did, then maybe they might think that the state would probably have statutes against parents bringing their kids to doctors to have parts of their bodies removed to make the kids feel good at, say, age 12, to give them chemicals that will permanently damage their bodies and their brains. You know, you've got the idea of parental control over one's children, and constantly we hear, especially from left-wing people, you can't always have that. You can't have parents making all the decisions. Even conservatives would say you can't have parents abusing the kids within the status realm. What is abuse? Now, being an anarchist, I say the problem is that you're never going to be able to hold on to those principles because the state always expands. It's always being used. People always want to get at the state to make it do what they want to do. To get, Jimmy Has Two Daddies into the library or the school system. To lower the school standards. As we saw yesterday in Washington, D.C., they've got social workers. They no longer want to have the same standards for the social workers because they say those standards, they discriminate against, as they say, people of color rather than black people. I don't know what color you have to be, but evidently that is, you know, Orwellian newspeak for black people. I don't know. As the great David Brudnoy used to say, you don't say fries or French. You say French fries. But anyway, that seems to be water under the proverbial Orwellian newspeak bridge. The actual term people of color, as amorphous as it is, I guess everybody knows what that signal is because it's not racist at all. To understand what that means. Evidently, that's not racist when people say people of color. What color? I don't know. People of height? You mean tall people? People of girth? Fat people? I don't know. So now we've got a situation where the state is defining what is or is not harm. Because, of course, that is the Lockean idea behind the state. The state is there in order to prevent harm. And in order to prevent harm, the state claims the power to harm you. Just ask Liz Moore. So with that stated, then how do we look at, and what is your opinion of how this is resolved within the state? If the parents think that it's perfectly acceptable to chop pieces off of their child, or to chemically castrate their child, or to chemically turn their daughter into a daughter filled with testosterone, growing hair, and unbalanced mentally compared to what she might have been, then who are we to say? Liberals might say, I thought you were in favor of parental control. How far does the parental control go before it's abuse? That's one of the problems with the state. Now, I happen to think that you would get a cipher that would be not just as good, but better, if you had voluntary associations and we didn't have the moral undercutting of I'm going to force my neighbor to pay for what I think is the protection or the freedom of parents or the protection of kids. The question is, if you have an anarchist society, would that devolve into one anarchist group going and trying to break into another anarchist group to protect kids, right? But with this story out of Bismarck, North Dakota, I think we can see that there is an agenda from the Associated Press, as they call this affirming care for minors, gender affirming care. And we see them report District Judge Jackson Lofgren on Monday denied a temporary restraining order the plaintiffs had requested. They also asked for a preliminary injunction that would temporarily block enforcement of the law as their case proceeds. A hearing is set for January for that request. So again, this is a district judge inside North Dakota. Lofgren cited the plaintiffs' nearly five-month delay in filing their complaint and their argument hinging upon inclusion in a protected class not previously recognized by the North Dakota Supreme Court or a new application of state constitutional principles. So, they're not recognized as a particular minority. They're not a class that's been previously recognized. What if they were? It says here, under the law, it is a felony for a healthcare provider to perform so-called gender-affirming surgery on a minor and a misdemeanor to prescribe or give hormone treatments, as they call them, or puberty blockers to a child. Supporters of the ban argue that it protects children from what they say are irreversible effects of treatments and surgeries. Opponents contend that the ban will harm transgender youth. They say they're at greater risk of depression. Yeah, and that risk increases after they get all these treatments. And suicide risk increases as well. What do you think? Let me turn to Rockfin Chat. Because I think very clearly these parents who enter into this realm could be cited for abuse under statutes, child abuse. And I'm looking over in Rockfin Chat right now. And I'm looking over in Rumble Chat as well. Hal 9000 says the push for trans surgery is from the drug companies for puberty blockers. Excellent point. So glad you mentioned that. So glad. Absolutely. MOE says puberty blockers, great Chinese guard. I don't really know. Oh, puberty blockers. Sorry. Yeah. I see. Yeah, I misread it. Yes. Brian says, again, these people say gender is a social construct. So why do you need surgery to affirm your gender? Yes. So true. So true. Hey, Geesebusters, I just saw your donation. Thank you. It just popped up. I enjoy watching your show. Thank you. Yeah, I can't. You know, this is one of those things where I sort of can't wait for tomorrow because I know it's going to be all set. At least I thought it was going to be all set today. Anyway, so. Again, you know, if people are going to go by the state and they think they're going to get this all resolved and they're going to have some answer, that answer is not going to last because different people are going to run the state, right? And it may be that the state is always going to arise. But again, I'll bring up history. I go with the Irish Brehon Law system, the Viking Goddard system, and so on. And those lasted 1,000 years. They were voluntary. So there is historical precedence for anarchy, or otherwise known as voluntarism, right? Now, the voluntarist system didn't eliminate all disputes, but it did eliminate the constant pressure of people being forced to cough up stuff all the time under constant predation, where everybody is pitted against each other. It split things into smaller groups. I think at least, if you're going to go by a state system, that founder's idea of smaller groups is a very valuable idea. And I think it was much better under the Articles of Confederation. And we've got some information about the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution coming up, although I might do it tomorrow night because I don't know whether the vibe is just right for this tonight, whether I can really roll it with the dynamism I wanted. But I've got so much planned for you tonight. I wanted to make things super short, super fast tonight, but, you know, it's just you lose that time in the beginning of the program. It makes it tough. Now I want to turn to, I'm going to leave that hanging because I think there is no answer for this sort of thing under a state paradigm. And, of course, under that state paradigm, you're still forcing people to pay for the judicial system and the policing system and the social work system and the people who write the statutes and all that stuff. So it, at its basis, it's immoral. But I want to turn to another story. This one is about the Supreme Court. And I think you'll find this very interesting. Now, this is a positive, actually. The Supreme Court has issued a ruling in favor of a postal worker's religious liberty, addressing the accommodation of religious practices in the workplace. Now, this is a U.S. postal worker. So, again, think about this, right? Think about the fact that this is a government worker who agrees to work for the government. This isn't even one of the citizens upon whom the government is forcing its mandates, right? This isn't even a person who opens up a business and the government says, you got to do what we tell you. You must conform to Title VIII. You're a college. You got to conform to Title IX. Not even that. This isn't the airport where they're making you go through the TSA. This is a person who voluntarily applies for and gets a job with the U.S. Postal Service, which is explicitly allowed to exist under their constitutional paradigm. Not the only postal service. Lysander Spooner showed that you can do a much better job privately. In the 19th century, he showed that, and they tried to shut up. They did shut him down. But, and of course, he is the guy who wrote No Authority, No Treason, the Constitution of No Authority, and showed that the Constitution doesn't have any authority over any of us. But this is a very interesting case, and it applies to what I've mentioned on the program many times, one of the big lessons called unconstitutional conditions. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled in favor of a postal worker's religious liberty case addressing the accommodation of religious practices in the workplace. Now, this is not about jabs. This is about working on Sundays. The case involved a Christian mailman's request not to deliver parcels on Sundays due to religious observance. The decision rejected a 1977 ruling that set the standard for accommodating religious practices, focusing on the interpretation of undue hardship for employers. Now, again, you see they're mixing apples and oranges here, but it seems like they're going to apply this to private employees and employers. But there's a problem here. Because, again, if you're a private employer, you should be able to set the standards by which you want people to work for you. I want you to work on Sundays. Sorry, I don't want to work on Sundays. Thank you very much. We're done. How is it that the government can take this and apply it to private industry, where now you're interfering with rights? You're not supporting rights. You're interfering with private contract rights, with private property rights. How is it they can do that? Let's continue with this story. The case has implications for Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's if, again, if you expand it beyond the government sphere. Now, the United States Postal Service is supposedly a private corporation, but it's not. That's what they tell us. It's not. It was created by the federal government. It's a government-created corporation like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. It gets government subsidies. It's a government entity. That's what it is. The case has implications for Title VII. Quote, the government believes undue hardship arises when there is lost efficiency, weekly payment of premium wages, or denial of a coworker's shift preference, attorney Aaron Street said. Thus, under the government's test, a diabetic employee could receive snack breaks under the Americans with Disability Act, but not prayer breaks under Title VII, for that might cause lost efficiency. You see the way that they put all these caveats on the government deciding what can happen in a situation of free association? Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, everybody, that is a complete infringement on the right to contract. It's an infringement on private property. And then they come up with these various ways to say, well, it can be infringed on here, but if it loses efficiency, well, who decides what's efficiency? Can it be the employer or not? And what other contextual situations can the employer decide he or she prefers? Does it only have to be efficiency? Is that just what the politicians and the jurors say on the Supreme Court? Oh, it can only be that. Why? You're not involved with that business. Why don't you get your nose out of it? Why don't we just tell you when you can come home, what you can do in your house, anything like that? It's private property. The court's decision may align with both right and left perspectives on religious liberty. The American Postal Workers Union noted this: a day off is not the special privilege of the religious. Days off, especially on the weekend, are when parents can spend the day with children. So you see, they're starting to open it up to say, well, why not anything? Why not another? I don't want to work on Sunday for this reason. I don't want to work on Sunday because I like days that start with S. I want to be with my kids. I want to have a barbecue. Why does it have to be religion? Why can't individuals choose for themselves? Why is it that the government decides, well, the religious stuff can take precedence? Why? That's someone else telling you where you can exercise your freedom of contract. That's an imposition. That itself is anti-religious, for goodness sake. That's theft of your private property and theft of your free will, for God's sake. People can't see how completely bizarre and upside down this is. They're saying that, well, for religious reasons, you can get a day off from the U.S. Postal Service. Whether or not this applies to private companies, we're not sure, but it could, but only on the religious front. Well, if it's not on the religious front, but you're still stopping people from using their free will, then it is on the religious front. It is. You can't deny this. We're given individual free will. We have to be able to exercise our free will in order to be able to gain entrance to heaven, to do what God tells us to do. We don't answer to the state or to people who turn to the state to get them to enforce their decisions over our lives. That's all the state is just a bunch of people. And sometimes those people will work for people who approach them and say, hey, can you get this guy to do this? I want him to do that. That's violence. By allowing employers to refuse to accommodate employees' beliefs, said the Muslim Public Affairs Council in a brief, beliefs for any reason, Hardison forces devout employees to make an impossible daily choice between religious duty and livelihood. This may be one of those religious liberty cases where the right and the left are actually aligned, said law professor James Phillips. So that is a big deal. The question is, again, will a private employer or a private employee then sue to say that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, I'm an employer, and I decide whether or not I want my employees to work on Sundays, and if I don't want them, if I want them to work on Sundays and they won't, I should be able to fire them. Right now, the United States government is being prevented. The U.S. Postal Service, I should say, that branch of the U.S. government is being prevented by this decision now from the Supreme Court. But what will happen if a private employer actually tries to exercise control over his own private property? And when we talk about control over private property, let's talk about this next one. Supreme Court delivers blow to vaccine skeptics. Newsweek's Matthew Impelli writes about this. I'll withhold judgment. You can see what you think about Matthew Impelli's journalistic skills. The U.S. Supreme Court rejected to hear an appeal, so that means that the lower court ruling stands. An appeal relating to COVID-19 so-called vaccine requirements in the workplace, dealing a blow to vaccine skeptics across the nation. Vaccine skeptics. As I posted on Twitter, you mean people who actually were aware of this? People who actually were aware of their rights? People who knew that they weren't vaccines? But even then, if you want to be a vaccine skeptic, you should be able to. It shouldn't be some sort of evil term, some black broad brush against you, to use the Chinese. On Tuesday morning, the Supreme Court orders list showed that it was denying to hear any further arguments in the case of Katie Sesney et al. Versus, you got it, Governor of New Jersey et al. The case focused on four New Jersey nurses, I'm from Jersey, who filed a lawsuit against Jersey's COVID-19 so-called vaccine requirements in the workplace, citing religious freedom and health concerns. What they should have cited was the contract clause, because they already had a contract with their employers. And then they could have gone in and say, you are interfering with our contract. The Supreme Court did, of course, the court wouldn't rule in their favor on that either. But it's very clear. The Supreme Court did not provide any further explanation for its refusal to hear the case. But the decision allows a ruling in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit to stand. The lower court ruled that the vaccine mandate challenged by the nurses did not violate their constitutional freedoms and allowed an executive order from New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy to stay in place. Yeah, now that would be the guy who, as you know, he said to Tucker Carlson, wasn't paying attention to the Bill of Rights when he imposed his lockdowns and mandates. He said that the Bill of Rights and the Constitution was above his pay grade. Well, how about any money that he gets should be above his pay grade and he should go to prison? We are disappointed the Supreme Court did not take up this issue now, but hope that it will take up this question soon, said the plaintiff's attorney, Dana Weffer. And she told this to Newsweek on Tuesday afternoon. She said, we hope that it will take up the question soon, whether in this case after final judgment or another case. We need our highest court to provide guidance on this important question of liberty before another pandemic, so-called, which it wasn't a pandemic, or another emergency so-called vaccine. The decision by the Supreme Court Tuesday comes as some Americans have continued to question the effectiveness of the COVID-19. You mean they've cited the ineffectiveness of it. We'll be back with more of Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000. Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.